three reasons why I asked Lori earlier this week if her class could sing that little song for us this week. One, because those kids are just so cute. Amen? Two, because I knew if I tried to sing from the pulpit again, you'd probably fire me, and I like my job. And three, because there's an entire sermon in that first verse. That's really our full sermon today. This little light of mine, I am going to let it shine. That's the essence of our sermon today. Here's the thing. In a dark, dark, dark world, that little light of yours can sure shine bright, can it? Over the course of the summer, we've been working through some bad theology, trying to fix some bad theology. We've talked about things like money, things about like who Jesus is, what the Bible is, finances. Last week we talked about suffering. This week we're fixing some bad theology concerning the E word, evangelism. And just as I say evangelism, about 70% of the room gets a knot in your stomach. You get a feeling of nervousness in your stomach. So the question is, what is evangelism? Well, if you don't know what evangelism is, it's both the sharing and the showing others who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. Let me say that again. It is the sharing and the showing who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. There's a Lifeway survey I want to show you on the screen here. This was shared just a couple of weeks ago. And let me just read it to you just in case you can't read that. 38% of Christians, they say, this is from Lifeway Research, 38% of Christians say they shared how to become a Christian with a loved one in the past 6 months. 30% say they've shared with a stranger. And then they ask a question at the end of that stats, what is hindering evangelism? What's the problem with evangelism? And you know what my answer is to that? My answer is that we have so narrowly defined evangelism that we forget that evangelism is both the showing of who Jesus is and the sharing of who Jesus is. Evangelism is the work of the church. It takes the entire church to show the world who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. And according to the survey, 70% of us, we don't like having awkward conversations. And so because we don't like having awkward conversations, we tend not to do evangelism. But what if I told you there was a way that you can be faithful to do the work of an evangelist and still maybe not have an awkward conversation? Today, you're going to see six different ways to do the work of an evangelist and let your light shine. And I know what you're thinking. 6 points in a sermon and the Lord's Supper, we're going to be here all day. Well, buckle up. We're going to be here. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to be here all day. I promise we're going to fly through this. In fact, you know, my preference is to go through a book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Today, we're going to kind of be all over the Bible. So to help you out, we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 5. So if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5, and then with every point, there's going to be a point and a verse. I'm going to put those verses on the screen so you don't have to worry about finding those verses in your Bible. If you would please stand as we read together Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And here's what God's Word says. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. I pray you would move in a mighty way here this morning and help us as a church to do the work of an evangelist. We pray, Lord, that would happen this week as a church, that we would do the work of an evangelist with Vacation Bible School. Lord, we pray that we would do that work, and we trust that you will do your work. We love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. 6 ways to do the work of an evangelist, and let your little light shine. Number one, if you want to do the work of an evangelist, love one another. L, love one another. Look around you in the room right now. Just take a look around you in the room. We have people from all different walks of life in this room right now. We have the rich and we have the poor. We have the white collar and we have the blue collar. We have the Republican and we have the Democrat. We have the young and we have the old. We have those who are retired and those who haven't started working yet. We have the rugged outdoorsman and the people who give their poodles a middle name. We are wide and varied. We are also very, 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 very different. And yet here we are, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, day after day, together as a wide and varied group. Why? For two reasons. Because we love the Lord and we love one another. And don't you know that this, the church, is the only place in the world where that can happen? Where people from all different walks of life, all the things that divide the world, they don't divide us in the church, or at least they shouldn't. When we love one another, it is an evangelistic effort. It's an evangelistic picture. You say, well, where do you see that at? Well, let me show you. John chapter 13, I've shared this with you before. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus says this, I give you a new command. What does it say right there? Love one another. Is that a suggestion or a command? Command. I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. So how are we to love each other? In the same way that Christ loves us. And then he says this, verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my people. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know what that means? That means that when we love one another, when the world sees us loving one another, they recognize that we belong to Jesus. Because this can't happen anywhere else. But when Jesus is our focus, boy, we can love each other well. So you say, how do you love one another? How do we do that practically? How do I show my love for one another? Let me give you the three C's of love. You care, you cry, and you celebrate. You say, how do you show love for one another? Well, you care. You care about one another. You help one another. You bear the burden of one another. You're considerate of each other. You care about one another. And then you cry. Listen, when you hurt, I hurt. Because we're family. So when you cry, I'll cry with you. That's what love does. That's what Jesus did. Do you remember when he went to Lazarus' house? Love cries. Love cares. And then thirdly, you celebrate. And when you cry, I cry. But listen, when you rejoice, I rejoice. I'm not jealous over your success. I'm not concerned about how that affects me. I am happy for you. That's love. Care, cry, and celebrate. And if you want to do the work of an evangelist, it starts here, as we love one another. Now, secondly, if you want to do the work of an evangelist, invite others to hear about Jesus. Did you know that inviting the lost to church on Sunday is an act of evangelism? Now, I got to be clear, it's not the full definition of evangelism, but it's an act of evangelism. Let me just share with you from the Bible. There was a guy named Andrew. Do you know Andrew? He was Peter's brother. And this is the first time that we hear about Andrew. Is in John chapter 1. He's actually at this point a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist sees Jesus and behold, the Lamb of God. And then Andrew does something evangelistic. Look at the screen here. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. The Bible says Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And read that verse 42 with me. And he brought Simon to Jesus. What did he do? He invited him. He went to invite Peter, which means that when Peter preached the sermon at Pentecost, those people who were saved could trace their salvation story back to even Andrew, because Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, and Peter was then saved, and then Peter went out and lived an evangelistic life for sure. Andrew did the work of an evangelist simply by inviting Peter to a place where he could see Jesus, where he could hear about Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, invitations to church are powerful, powerful evangelistic tools. An invitation to church is a powerful evangelistic tool. And you say, why? Because your neighbor doesn't know me. Your neighbor doesn't care about me. Your neighbor doesn't trust me. But you know who your neighbor trusts? You. And so when you go to your neighbor and you say, man, what are you doing Sunday morning? Or what are your kids doing this week? We have vacation Bible school. When you go to your neighbor and you invite them, they trust you and they come. And guess what the Lord does when they do that? He does his work. Andrew went to Peter and Peter trusted Andrew. And so Peter followed Andrew to Jesus. And listen, you can do the same work of an evangelist just simply by extending an invitation to someone to come to church. To do the work of an evangelist, you've got to love one another. You can invite others to hear about Jesus. G, you can give others your testimony. You know how powerful your testimony is? Your story of what God has done in your life in the past and what God is doing in your life in the present, that is powerful. When the Lord moves in your life, you need to share that. Tell the world about that and let your little light shine to the glory of God when you do. Y'all remember the story of the woman at the well? John chapter 4. The Bible says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And when he got there, he sat down by a well because he was tired. It was Jacob's well. And so he sits down at the well, and this lady walks up and he says, can you give me a drink? And Jesus then proceeds to tell the lady about who he is. In verse 13, he tells the lady, whoever drinks from the water of this cup that I give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water that I give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. And you know what she said? Can I get a cup of that water? Can I have some of that eternal life water? And Jesus then proceeds to confront her in her sin. He says, go, call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right, but you're living like you do. You're living in a marriage relationship, and yet you are not married. And then Jesus did what only God could do. He didn't just tell her about her current situation. He told her about her past. He says, in fact, you've had 5 husbands, and you haven't been married to any of them. So this woman is shook, right? She's a King James Version, shooketh. She's beside herself. And I want you to understand the humility that she has because she runs back into town. And look at verse 29. I know that's super fine print. Let me read it for you. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Do you know what her testimony included? Her failures in life. Her testimony included her failures in life. He told me everything that I ever did. Your testimony will likely include your failures in life, where you've messed up. Not always, but in this case it did. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And with that, her evangelistic work was over. The job of evangelism wasn't over yet. Don't misunderstand me. The job still had to be completed, but her job was over. She went and she shared her testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And what happens? Well, verse 39 says, many Samaritans from that town, what does that word say? Believed in him. Why? Because of what the woman said when she testified, he told me everything I ever did. You think the woman at the well was an evangelist? She was a great evangelist. She's in the Evangelistic Hall of Fame. And all she did was share her testimony and invite others to come see Jesus for themselves. And because of that, many Samaritans from that town believed. Because of that, you and I will meet Samaritans from that town in heaven because of her testimony. Your testimony is powerful. It is the way God is working in your life, the way God has worked in your life. It is powerful. And when you share that, you let your little light shine so very bright. If you want to do the work of an evangelist, love one another, invite others to hear about Jesus, Give others your testimony. Thirdly, help others practically. There's a lady in the Bible named Dorcas. Everybody say Dorcas. Say it again. Say it a little louder. I like it when people call me Dorcas. You know why? Because Dorcas was a servant who served well and utilized her service. God used her service as an evangelistic effort. Let me just read to you. This is from Acts chapter 9. I'll read it all together. Are you ready? Beginning in verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated what? Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. She's a good person, right? Always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men who urged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." Peter got up, went with them, and when he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. And all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. And Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down, prayed, and turning toward the body said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. He called the saints and widows and presented her alive. Verse 42, this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Do you see how Dorcas did the work of an evangelist? All she did was serve for the sake of those around her. She served others. She made robes and clothes for widows. And she was such an asset to her community that when she died, everybody noticed. And they asked the same question that we asked last week. Why do bad things happen to good people? And if you remember, bad things happen to good people for the advancement of the gospel and for God's glory to be seen. And that certainly happens here. As Peter shows up and people are mourning at her loss, they noticed her loss. They noticed that she had died and they were holding the things that she had made for them. And then the Lord does a miracle through Peter. And in verse 42, evangelism finalizes. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. If you want to do the work of an evangelist, love one another, invite others to hear about Jesus, give your testimony, help others practically, T-L-I-G-H-T, take others before the Lord in prayer. Let me read to you, 2 Peter 3:9. It says this, "The Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you." Read that last part if you can. "Not wanting any to perish, but all to come to" what? "Repentance." So listen to me. When you pray for your lost family member, when you labor in prayer over your lost friend or your lost teammate or your lost neighbor, when you labor in prayer over them, when you pray for them to come to Christ and be saved, you are expressing to God in prayer that which He already desires. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if all you can do is pray and let the Lord do the work. Well, we've seen L-I-G-H-T. There's one more that we're going to see now. And this is the end of evangelism. S, share the gospel with others. You see the commonality between all six of those? There's two commonalities. First, evangelism in all its form, in every form, evangelism is Christ-centered and others-focused. We serve others because of Christ. We invite others because of Christ. We give our testimony because of Christ. We help people because of Christ. We take them to the Lord in prayer because we want Christ to save them. We share the gospel with them because we want Christ to save them. We love one another because of Christ. Evangelism in all of its forms is Christ-centered and others-focused. Secondly, every single evangelistic approach has to conclude with the gospel being verbalized, with the gospel being spoken. It has to, somebody has to tell them who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters. That's the work of evangelism. Here's what Romans 10:14 says. How can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And that word preacher doesn't just mean me. It's a proclaimer of the gospel. That could be you. But here's the point. Someone has to share the gospel with them. It may not be you who does it. It wasn't the woman at the well who shared the gospel verbally. She invited. It wasn't Dorcas who shared the gospel verbally. She served. Do you see the difference? Evangelism has to conclude with the verbal proclamation of the gospel. So let's do a thought experiment together as we conclude this sermon. Let's do a quick thought experiment. Let me give you an example of how VBS is a church, or how evangelism is a church-wide effort using VBS this week. All right, so let's just do a thought experiment. Let's say you have a neighbor that you know well. And let's say that you go to your neighbor and you say, hey, I would love for your kids to come to Vacation Bible School with us this week. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that your neighbor's daughter, her name is Sally. Now, your neighbor trusts you, so they, of course, agree. We would love to have Sally come to VBS. The problem is, they can't get her here. They have to work. So that means that Larry and Ed have to go to work, or have to show up for VBS early and go out in the van and pick Sally up. So Larry and Ed, they go out and pick Sally up, the one that you have invited. Then Sally gets here to church. And let's say she's in kindergarten. Jill and Erica, that's your class, right? Let's say she's in kindergarten and she walks into the building and Jill and Erica are there and they show Sally love. They are patient, they are fun, they are kind. They teach her about Jesus. And then let's say she leaves from the classroom and she goes to crafts and she learns about Jesus through crafts. And then she goes to missions and she hears why people give their life to go on mission. And then she goes to recreation with Ryan. And she has a blast at recreation with Ryan. And then she comes to music with Olivia, right, Olivia? And she learns how to sing about Jesus. Meanwhile, Trudy, you can't be here this week because you're working all week. So Trudy starts praying that someone would come to faith in Christ. And then I stand up on Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday, and I give them the ABCs of salvation. In order to be saved, you must admit to God that you've sinned. Everyone has sinned. And when we sin, that separates us from God. Admit to God that you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus is God's only Son. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus lived a sinless life and yet died a sinner's death. But the story doesn't end there, because he comes back to life. He resurrected from the dead. And he has said, if we will confess him, that's C, confess him as our Savior and Lord. Repenting of our sin, confessing him as our Savior and Lord, we will be saved. And at the end of that, at the end of all of that, Sally accepts Christ. Who led Sally to the Lord? Was it me? Was it the one who made cookies? Was it the one who prayed? Was it the one who invited? Was it her teachers? The church led Sally to the Lord. And guess who gets the glory for that? The Lord. Because only the Lord can use people like us who are so very different for that singular purpose. Evangelism is a church-wide effort. So it might be that your role in evangelism this week is to invite your neighbors to church, to Vacation Bible School. That might be the only thing you can do this week. It might be that your role in evangelism is to teach, to serve, to teach in a class, or to teach in a rotation. It might be that your role in evangelism is to bake cookies and bring them to my office so I can eat them before we give them to the kids. And all God's people said, did y'all say no? It might be that the only thing you can do is pray. It might be that you're the one who proclaims the gospel to them. It might be. And guess who gets the glory? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because only He can use broken people like us and make our little light shine. And you say, well, my little light's not very bright. My little light can't do much. All I can do is make a brownie. All I can do is pray. All I can do is invite. But don't you see how bright this gets when we all turn our little lights on? Boy, we can be a city on top of a hill when every one of us does our work with evangelism. Now, you need to know. You need to know how to verbalize, how to share the gospel. You need to know how to do that. And we can help you with that. But it may be that your role is to invite someone, to share your testimony, to pray, to serve. However the Lord calls you to shine your little light, shine it. And let everybody else shine their light too. And together we will storm the gates of hell with our lights. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the work of evangelism that you've given the church to do. And Father, I pray that, Lord, I'm not numb to the fact that there may be someone in the room here today who doesn't know you as Savior and Lord. And I pray, Father, if that's the case, that you would do your work, your mighty work in their life, that you would bring them to repentance, that they would repent of their sin and trust in you and be saved. And Father, I pray for those of us who do know you, I pray you would equip us, encourage us to do the work of an evangelist. I pray this week as a church that we faithfully do the work of an evangelist. I pray you would help us to invite, to share our testimony, to pray, to make brownies, to serve, to do whatever you've called us to do for your glory and your glory alone. That's why we're here. That's why we exist, to glorify you, to let our light so shine that you get all the glory and all the praise. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.